One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Okay, KK, here we go. Podcast number 13. This is actually going to be a very interesting story because last week I spoke about my little experience with that snowboarder girl. And this week I'm actually going to share a story about saving a skier's life at Snowbird, Utah. This actually happened to me, and it is a great story. And now I simply want to share with you that great experience. And the story you are about to hear was recorded live at a Toastmasters meeting. I've been a Toastmaster for the past 5 years. And this follows an after-dinner speech overtone, which I think is really interesting. This actually happened to me. It was a phenomenal experience. I had been snowboarding a lot. I was on fire. I was at Snowbird. It was late in the season. There was great snow in Snowbird. And this is a story that I'd like to share. So part of it is recorded, pre-recorded, and then at the end, I'll give a little synopsis. There's a big, maybe not so big, but an interesting piece that I kind of left out because if you know anything about Toastmasters, I was on a time frame. I had 11 minutes to speak, and I didn't want to go over, so I couldn't quite say some of the things that I wanted to say, but now I'll say them again. Well, I'll say them at the end of the story. All right, here we go. I'd like to welcome you all and thank you for attending the Safety Response and Ski First Aid Conference here at Snowbird Ski Resort. I also want to thank the kitchen and the cook staff and all the chefs for this wonderful meal that was just served, which we just enjoyed. They're always cooking good food here at Snowbird, and after a long day of skiing or snowboarding, it's always good to put down a little extra food. I've been asked to come and do a after-dinner speech for you, and I've been asked to do this and share a story about how I saved someone's life here at Snowbird a while back. And I've been asked to do this for a couple of reasons. One is because I snowboard, I shred on a snowboard like a banshee screaming down a mountain. If you see me snowboarding, these are the two things you typically see, are the back of my head and the bottom of my board. And that is because of how fast I go by and how high I fly. And the second and most important reason is because I actually saved someone's life here at Snowbird. And it was a very unique experience that I had. And because of this, they've asked me to come and share this with you, because we are here at a first aid response safety conference. And sometimes I feel on the mountain, there's not always enough respect for life. We want to have a lot of dignity when it comes to that. We want to respect life. Sometimes I feel that people respect snow a little more. So I came up to Snowbird. I remember when I was driving up to Snowbird, I was thinking about this little story that I was reading at the time about the most acclaimed female snowboarder on the planet. And she was referencing how she had just completed her 70th day snowboarding. And I thought that was great because I'm driving to Snowbird because there's no more snow in Idaho. And that was my 68th, 69th, and 70th day snowboarding. And for me, I thought maybe I could go professional. And even having a part-time job, it can be very challenging to snowboard 70 times in a season. And often I would have to call my boss. Oh, hey, boss man, yeah, I'm not feeling that good. No, it's not the flu. I'm sorry, I got the runs. Run after run after run. And I'll tell you, my final day, my Sunday at Snowbird was great. Right? You've all were out there today. The sun was out. The snow was dry and fluffy. It was so dry and fluffy, you could shovel it with a broom. It was ideal conditions, early spring, warm, phenomenal. And Snowbird can take you to 12,000 feet. And 12,000 feet is pretty high. You got to take a number of trams, and then the last tram skirts this bowl. It's just beautiful, untouched snow, if you can actually handle the trams. I've never been on a tram. I thought this was great. Just the interactions, the international interactions on the tram. People from all over the world going there. I spent the whole day just going to moguls, having fun. I'm a solo rider, so I'm just by myself. And the whole day I'm just hanging out, I'm having a good time. I'm taking turns. I'm thinking, maybe I should do this professionally. What a great thing to do for a one-handed guy. I remember when I went to go rent some gear once when I was skiing, I was getting all this gear, and I was like, can I get one pole? And the rental guy was like, well, most people use two poles. And I was like, I know, most people have two hands. And so I decided to go with snowboarding instead. So the morning turned into the afternoon turned into the late afternoon, and people started disappearing. People get tired. I was in really good shape at that time, so I could snowboard all day. And I heard the whistle for the last tram, and I thought, okay, this is my final opportunity. I'm going to go all the way to the top, and I'm going to snowboard down 7,000 feet. In the right terrain, you could just, I want to say for hours, but it's not really that long. But it is incredibly long. So I take the final tram up. I get up to the top. They drop me off at the top of the tram. And then I notice that the other tram that I want to take is closed. Apparently, there's this little storm coming. So I thought, well, okay, I'll sit here and watch the sunset a little bit. We're up so high. It's so beautiful. It's so peaceful. I'm by myself. I'm just having this beautiful moment. Ah. And then I notice I'm actually kind of waiting for something. I had this sensation, this feeling like I'm actually waiting for something. And out loud, I even said to myself, what am I waiting for? And I keep panning, and I'm looking around, this kind of thing, and I see this person walking this way, way down there, way down there. And the guy is walking up the mountain. Initially, I'm like, this is not good. And then I see a group of skiers encounter him, and they have some strange interaction, and this main skier is just kind of upset and shugging him off and this kind of thing. And that's when I knew, maybe something's not right. And then he just keeps coming right towards me, right towards the tram. I'm sitting underneath the tram. And then he gets closer, and then these two skiers, ski patrol, you guys, this is why I'm telling this story, show up. And then there's obviously some kind of confrontation, and the skier pushes them like, no, leave me alone, I'm fine, I'm fine. Ski patrol just shrugged, you could see him shrug, and then they're gone. And I thought, oh, this is actually what I'm waiting for. So this guy starts getting closer. He actually comes all the way up to me. Like, he comes, it's the weirdest moment. It'd be like walking in the desert and running into someone wearing a tie. This guy, well, he didn't really walk, but he's like cross-country skiing all the way to me. He's like, what are you doing here? And I looked right at him, and I said, I'm waiting for you. And he's like, oh, I want to keep going up. I want to go to the upper tram. I'm like, you can't go to the upper tram. The upper tram's closed. There's nothing you can do. The only way we can go is down. And the guy was giving me all this weird resistance. So I thought, I need to eyeball this guy, really get a good look at him. So I gave him the once-over. I call it the Idaho checkout, right? I just checked him out from the top to the bottom. And I noticed he's wearing blue jeans. And there's only two kinds of skiers that wear blue jeans, the kind that are really, really cool, right? And then people that just don't really know what they're doing. So I asked him, I said, where are you from? He's like, I just flew in yesterday. I didn't ask you when you got here. I asked you where you came from. He said, I live in Florida. And he flew in last night, and then 12 hours later, he's at 12,000 feet, right? The guy's like in altitude sickness, and he doesn't know it. And he's like, no, I'm going up to the mountain. I got to keep going up. I'm like, no, bro, we need to go down. I heard there's a storm coming. We need to go down. So all this hoopla, right? This like Florida cat. I want to keep going up. I'm like, let's go down. So I entertain the guy for a while. I'm like, okay, let's go up. I got a snowboard. Got it strapped to my back. We're going up, this kind of thing. And he's starting to get tired. Not making a lot of sense, but slightly coherent. But I have a lot of experience with high-end wilderness training. I know this guy's not in the right spot. And then the ski patrol people that met him should have known that too. I finally convinced the guy to start going down. I said, man, we need to go the other way because it started to snow. We need to go down. Down is the safest place to go. I got on my snowboard. He's on his skis. I'm like, let's go. Finally, he's following me. We take, we do it like 8 turns. We don't even go maybe 150 feet. He just collapses. Puh. And I was like, oh, this is it. I take my board off, go over there. And he's still got resistance. Oh, I'm fine. I'm like, no, dude, you're not fine. You are not fine. You're in altitude sickness. You shouldn't even be up here. Where's your friends? Why are you alone? You don't have any gear. You don't know what you're doing. You're at 12,000 feet. You not smart. No, leave me alone. I'm fine. I'm like, dude, I need to go get you help. This is what I realized. I need to go get him help. And he was still giving me resistance. It's so funny. The snow's coming down. He's laying out flat. I actually take off my neck sock. I'm a big advocate of the neck sock. I take off my neck sock, right? And it's so funny. I was like his dad. I was like tucking it around his neck, this kind of thing. And it's so funny. I'm sure all of you have experienced this sometimes, especially if you're a woman and you're encountering a man who doesn't want to take your advice or anything like that. So all this little resistance, I've pushed, and then he just broke. And he totally relaxed. And then I kind of tucked in, and I was like, look, don't move. I was like, but I'm going to tell you what, I need to go find somebody because you're in a spot and we're in a spot. We're at 12,000 feet. I don't know how I'm going to get you down. I need to find somebody. Right? Because I tried to drag him down and it didn't quite work out well. So I took his skis. I bound them together and I stood them up like a pole. And I kind of got a check mark. I was like, okay, we're by this tram. And I just started running down the mountain a little bit. And I had to flag these skiers down. They were pissed. Like, what do you want? Like, hey man, this guy up here is not doing well. We need to get some like patrol up here. He's like, well, we want all this fresh snow. I'm like, yeah, I've been here before. That's fine. I'm not asking you to help me, even though it'd be great if you would, right? But you need to tell ski patrol that there's this guy up here in a lot of trouble, and he's by the tram, and there's poles up, this kind of thing. And then I had to flag some more people down. Same scenario. Right? So at this point, I was really upset because I realized that they didn't really respect what was going on, and they could not impugn the danger at hand. I thought that was really, I was really set back by that. Why I'm here telling you guys this story, because ski patrol was part of it. So I ran up finally looking for the guy, because I don't know how long we're going to wait. I have no idea how long it's going to actually take them, or if they're even going to do it. And then I start looking for this guy, and I realize I can't find him, because it's starting to snow. And the only thing I can see are the ski poles standing up. The guy is completely covered in snow. And I thought, oh, if I didn't help this guy, he was going to lay down and take a nap, and they wouldn't find him till spring. So they thaw out, and that's happened before. Oh yeah, it's so funny, man. I got there, I was just like brushing off a car. Hey man, you still alive? What's going on down there? I don't even remember the guy's name, but I just remember he was just like, oh, I can't believe this is happening, this kind of thing. And I was like, okay, some important things. Don't come out alone. Stay with your friends. First aid training. Be smart. Right now, you have to trust me. And then at that moment, ski patrol showed up in a snowcat. Right? And they're laughing at this guy. I was really pissed off at them. I couldn't believe it because this guy was all like shaking and this kind of thing and very uncomfortable. So they put him in that little cool little like bucket thing that they take him down in the mountain, that kind of thing. And they're like, okay, you need to follow us because we have to file a report. Right? We start snowboarding. It's like a whiteout. I can't see a thing. And these guys are like tearing down the mountain. I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't see. Start going over these things. You guys all know because you're here right now. Snowbird goes off in like 7 different ski resorts. You take one wrong turn, you have no idea where you're going to go. Right? I couldn't find anything. Next thing you know, I'm by myself again. I am totally by myself. I could never find these guys. And I tell this story all the time. And what I think is great about telling this story is that I actually saved the guy's life, but he never had the opportunity to thank me. And I'm just curious what that guy's story is. So in the end, have a little respect for life, have some first aid training, go out of your way to help people.
Hey, okay, there it is. That was my 12 minute after dinner speech out of one of the advanced manuals in Toastmasters. And now that I've given that another listen, it's been quite some time since I made that speech. Not so bad, but I wish I had another 15 minutes to really kind of round it out, so to speak. But all that was generally there. You know, and what I think is interesting is that when I was up there at 10, 11, 12,000 feet, and this guy let me help him, and I put the ski poles in the ground, and I told him that he needs to stay where he's at and not move, it was starting to get dark. There was a combination of bad things. We were the only two people in sight, it was starting to get dark, and a storm was coming in, and it was starting to snow. And I knew, just like I said, I knew that if I didn't wait for him, that guy was going to lay down and die. Because within 35 minutes, the sun had set, it was dusk, starting to get dark, and he was buried. I barely found him with the ski poles I put in the ground. He would have just looked like a regular little mogul sitting in the ground. And then when I went over there, I took care of him. I told him it took ski patrol a little bit of time to get there. And I told him, I'm not leaving you. And if I have to, I will drag you down the mountain because I was a little upset that people wouldn't stop and help, and especially Ski Patrol. That's right, Snowbird Ski Patrol left a guy hanging to die. And I wish I would have went back 7, 8, 9 years ago when this occurred and told them, but I'm kind of telling you now to all you people out there in podcast land. You know anyone at Snowbird, Utah, you give them this. Pass this along. Let them know. I had to pull the Good Samaritan card. But yeah, I just hung out with that guy. And then when Ski Patrol showed up, yeah, they were laughing because he was stumbling in altitude sickness. And I slung this guy the samurai look from another universe. Yeah, he knew he shouldn't have been laughing in the first place. And then we took care of him. You know, Ski Patrol came. They had that little toboggan. It wasn't really a bucket. And we were putting him in there. And before Ski Patrol told me that I had to follow them down, this guy, whose name is John... That I can remember. He said, hey, man, thanks for helping me. Thanks for stopping. And come on down. I you got to meet my wife. La, la, la. I want to buy you a beer. And really, I just want to say thank you to you. And I told him, I'm like, don't worry, my friend. I will follow you down the mountain. Little did I know that apparently Ski Patrol, you guys are professional skiers. They tore down the mountain so fast, I could barely keep up. Now, there are a couple things you got to know. It was pretty much dark, and it was a whiteout. It was snowing so hard, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't keep up with these guys, and they were probably only 5 feet ahead of me, but I couldn't see a thing. And as I mentioned, Snowbird, depending on which way you go down the mountain, ends up leading to another resort. There's so many resorts over there, Park City, Snowbird, Alta, that one you can't snowboard at. I had no idea. And then I lost them. And then I ended up just skiing down to some resort. And it took me an hour to get to my car. Yeah, I was totally, I don't even know where I ended up at this point. And it's funny too, because I tell this story and I kind of said it at the end, but I want to know what that guy's story, what John is telling people. Because it had such a classic, poetic ending where we wanted to get together. I spent all that time saving that guy's life. And in the end, I couldn't meet him at the ski resort so he could say thank you. It's beyond poetic. So if you've ever encountered someone who's telling the story about some one-handed dude that helped him on a ski resort because he was in altitude sickness wearing blue jeans, send him my way. One hand speaks. Saving lives. Doing the right thing. Making a difference in the world every day. Helping little snowboarder girls. Helping little kids on their bicycle. Helping my mama. Helping this guy up on Alta. I'm doing the job Ski Patrol should have been doing. You got to do what's right. You got to help people in every moment. If in every moment, everyone is taking care of the people that are around them, the whole world is covered. We got to do what's right. And what can I say? One hand speaks.
Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.